Welcome to Refine's podcast. Hope you enjoy.
Absolutely gorgeous, guys. Let's make sure you give it up for him nice, loud, and loud. Come on. Man, I was blessed by that. So I'm excited for tonight, and it's kind of an inside joke with some of those who were with our leader meeting earlier, because I said excited about 1,000 times when we were talking. But I'm excited because tonight we're talking about a serious subject, and what's kind of crazy about it is that I feel like it kind of suits the title. See, we're talking about our series, Your Will is My Command, and during this series, I think of those words, Your Will is My Command. Talking to God and saying, you know what, God, what I had planned is no longer really important, God, but what your will is my command. And when I hear that, I think of one simple word. And that word a lot of times causes us to cringe. I feel like when I say this word, you're going to be like, right? And it's obedience. Right? Yeah, right? Exactly. It's obedience. That word, it's almost like when I was younger growing up, I remember like people would say obey, and I'd be like, yeah, right? It's like, come on, who are you, authority? Whatever, get out of here. It was like almost an invitation to rebel when someone told me to obey or to do something. And it's just, this word, it kind of fits this series because it's literally what your will is my command means. It's saying, whatever you want for my life is much greater than what I want, and I will obey in that. And I think, honestly, for a lot of times, I think that that's where we fail in a lot of areas. I know me personally, like, I hear the word of God. I know certain things. Like, I know what I should be doing, but do I always obey? And I don't. Being honest. And I feel like this is really what happens in our Christian walk. And so God told me to talk about obedience tonight. And the reason why it's hard is because I'm going to be talking about authority a little bit later as well. And I really want to make sure that this does not come off as like, hey, I'm your pastor, obey me. Right? Because that's not what it is at all. It's more along the lines of like what Jesus has called us to do with him and how we honor him and we honor the relationship with him, God, our Heavenly Father, through obedience to a lot of people, okay? So I'm going to pray and let's kick this started. Father God, thank you so much for your love and your grace, God. Thank you for caring so much about us that you want to not only speak through us and speak to us, God, but you long for us to this relationship with you that when you say, please do something, you want us to step out in obedience and faith and do it. And so, Lord, I pray that you show us and speak to us in this time, Lord. These words will be directly from you, God. These are not words that I've written down. These are nothing that is coming from me, but it's all from you, God. Lord, move and anoint and just continue to be flowing tonight, Lord. We know your presence is here and we thank you. Love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. When I think of obedience, there's one person in the Bible who I think stands out above the rest in obviousness because he did not sin. He did everything perfect. And it's kind of weird to think about that because there's times when Jesus didn't want to obey, but Jesus still was that perfect picture of obedience. I love what he did in a lot of things in his life, but obviously we don't have time to sit here and go over everything. But I do want to touch over a lot of that. And one of the biggest examples that I think I could really look at is one of the things he says is he literally talks about obedience and he talks about it being a sign of love. That obedience is love, and kind of crazy to think about that, but he talks about it in a book, the book of John. He actually says in John 14:31, he says, but so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Get up, let us go from here. He says that I do exactly what the Father has commanded me, and because of that obedience, it is a sign of love, that it is an example to everyone that I love my Father. And I think of that. And honestly, I look at my own life and I go, okay, how well do I exhibit that love for the Father? How well do I show that? If I look at my life and I go, have I obeyed and been obedient even when it was hard, even when I didn't want to? Have I been obedient when it was like, God, I don't know what I'm about to face, but it is hard and it's too much. I can't do this. And I walk away. Is that showing God's love as he's talking about here? Or is it really just showing how much I'm not willing to love my Father? And so I look at this, and I think, you know what? Jesus, he was perfect. You really can't expect me to be the same. I'm like, Jesus was perfect and he did everything amazing and he obeyed at all times. Can I really obey God at all times? And I'm reading scriptures and I'm looking at what he went through and I'm like, really, he didn't go through anything different than what we go through. He set that perfect example of obedience in everything. And I feel like God is going to talk to us and tell us that, yes, we can be obedient in all things and what it will look like. And now, Jesus was not just tempted, but Jesus was tempted by Satan himself. And I think of myself, and again, because all I can think, I can't be like, oh, you know, I remember when you did this, because I really don't. I can speak about myself. And I can think back at times when I've been tempted, and I don't think I've truly been tempted by Satan himself. I think most of it's just me. I'm tempted by my own flesh and my own desires and my own wills because I don't quite have that your will is my command thing on lock yet. I don't have that completely ironed out. And so I have to look to Jesus and see what he did. And so let's pick up in Matthew 4. I got a lot of scripture, so I kind of want to read it here with you guys. Matthew 4 verse 1. Starts off with, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. Real quick, think of that for a second, okay? After 40 days and 40 nights, do you think you'll be hungry? Yeah, I'm going to be eating like 5 Big Macs after that, right? Well, I mean, that's kind of normal for me, so maybe more than that, but I like to eat. I like my food, okay? So, if he's fasting, his weakness is what right now? Food, right? So I feel like if you really want to try to guard against Satan, I don't know who this is for, start looking at your weakness and start guarding that instead of trying to guard your strengths. Doesn't really work that way, okay? All right, continue on, sorry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's all in all caps. He must be yelling here. I don't want to yell and break your ears, but still, right? And then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then the devil left him. And behold, after the temptation, angels came and began to minister to him. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. So I feel like sometimes in our lives, God is saying, be obedient first, and then I will send the angels to minister to you. It's like, you want to be tempted. Okay, yes, I understand you. Or you don't want to be tempted. But the thing is after temptation, the angels come. I believe this, that when you are able to step out and say, you know what, God, I'm going to show and prove through obedience my love for you, that's when the angels show up and minister. It wasn't during. It wasn't while he was battling. It wasn't while he was hungry. It was after the temptation came. It was saying, okay, be obedient. Boom. Angels, go be there. Come on. Go and pick up my boy, right? Pick up my baby boy. Time to lift him up, minister to him, and bring him back. All right, come on. All right? And that's the thing is I feel like, yes, we go through it. Yes, we get tempted. Yes, we have these hard times come against us. Like, I'm hungry. And it's like, okay, well, here, just command this. Come on, show me how you're really God. It's like, no, I understand. And he quoted scripture returning. Instead, he said, no, I'm obedient to my Father. And as he's obedient and proves that, then that's when the angels came, right? And then on, Jesus later on in his life, not much later. In fact, actually, what's crazy is, just hit me, verse 12 in Matthew. You don't have to put it up there, but if you look your Bible, if you have your Bible and you look at Matthew 4 and it goes to verse 12, the next title is the beginning of his ministry. It's kind of interesting. After obedience, he begins his ministry. Sorry, just saw that. Okay, anyways. But not only was Jesus tempted there, but then also later on, we actually read another time when Jesus obeys. And what's funny about this one is he doesn't want it. It's like the first time you see that he's going, you know what? Actually, God, I don't want what you have for me. I don't want to go through with this. And I think this is a very important time to look at what Jesus said and does here. In Matthew 26, verse 36 through 46, a lot more scriptures again, says that Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. So he's getting ready to go and pray because he has something heavy and burdened upon him. Does anyone here have something heavy and burdened upon you? I don't know what I feel like you need to go and pray. Get away, pray, and just give it to God. Okay, sorry. Again, I get distracted. It's like the ADD of spiritual scriptures kind of thing. Right? So you got to bear with me, right? So, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. See, he wasn't happy. He wasn't joyful. He wasn't over here saying, you know what? I'm about to do something for my father. Woohoo, right? He's actually grieved and distressed because he knows what it's going to take. And he continued on. He said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. He's like, God, I know what's about to happen. I know what is going to happen. I know what it takes. I know how much it's going to hurt. I know what I'm about to go through. But instead, I know I'm asking if there's any other way you can do this, if there's any other way you can save the world, if there's any other way that you can take this from me, please do so. But not as I will, but as you will. And if we want to look at your will as my command, we have to look at what Jesus did. Jesus is saying, look, I don't want this, but yet I still want to do your will. And then he continues on. I love this. He pleads even further. He says, and he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, so you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? He's getting frustrated now because he doesn't really want this. And he says, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I really don't think he's talking about these guys. I think he's really talking about himself. I think he's saying, my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak because I'm about to endure the pain of the world. I'm about to endure the separation of my Father. See, Jesus has never sinned. He's never felt what it was like to be apart from his dad. He never felt what it was like to be apart from God himself. And so he knows that he is about to take on the sins of the world and for the first time feel like everything is dark and lose that separation and that connection he has with his Father. Right? And I think he's really talking about himself. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again in a second time and prayed, saying, my Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. Right? He's getting a little more bold with it now, right? He's going back, but the thing is he's still not right. He's like, I still need to obey, but I just don't feel comfortable with it. But I'm going to go back to you, God. I'm going to go back to you. And I feel like for some of us, we need to keep going back. We need to keep knocking. We need to stop giving up. And even though it's not right, even though it's not comfortable, even though we don't want to do it, keep going back to God and keep knocking and wait to see what he does. And he'll give us more boldness in this. And then again, he came and found them sleeping for their eyes were heavy, and he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand. Why is that important? Because he says, guys, get up. My God, my Father, his will be done. He's saying, God, your will is my command, and I know what's about to happen because the person who's coming is going to be, he just betrayed me, and my betrayal is at hand. My death is coming, and he's saying, look, I know what's coming, and I'm still willing to step out and do it anyways. That's powerful. We want to think about obedience. That's obedience. He knew what was about to happen, and he said, I'm willing to do it anyways. He knew that. How many times in our lives do we even think what's about to happen? There's times in my life where I'm like, okay, I'm going to go talk to this person. I'm going to go talk to this person for Jesus right now. I'm going to go do it. I'm going to go do it. I don't know. They look kind of crazy. Wait, did he just drool on himself? And then I start judging. I'm like, I don't know if I want to do this, right? And then I go and do it, and it's awesome and amazing. And there's other times when I don't. There's other times when I look at people, and I go, I'm scared of that person. Yeah, I can fight. But it's been a long time. It's like, I don't want to put myself in that situation. Or it's like, I come up with excuses. I got my kids with me, right? It's like, there's times in my life when I look at it and go, I know that God wants me to be obedient, but I don't always do that. And here, he knows the outcome. And he's still willing to be obedient. He's still willing to go and endure everything that God has for him. Why? Why is that? Because he knows that God's will is way better for his life than his own thoughts and process. He knows that God's will is better for his life than his own thoughts and process. And that's an amazing thing to think about. But the one of the things that kind of makes this sermon different for me is like two sermons in one. Because I feel like God, a lot of times for a lot of us, I think we can look at this time with God. We look at the commandments and we go, yeah, I'm going to obey these. I'm going to obey these. And we want to obey. But as I said in the beginning, when someone told me when I was younger, hey, obey, it was like the invitation to do the exact opposite. When people tried to tell me what to do, I was like, I'm going to show you how that is wrong. I was going to do whatever the opposite was. And it was bad, especially early parts in our marriage, because my wife can attest to this. Like, she'd be like, you know, you don't have to give me flowers. I'm like, well, of course, no, not now, because now it's give you flowers just because you want them, not because it's special, right? My cop-out, because I was a cheapskate. But the thing was, is people would tell me, obey, and then I'd do the opposite. And I was thinking about this and really praying on this, and I felt like God was saying not only, hey, who are you, like, are you being obedient to me? But I feel like, as Jesus was as well, and we're going to read in more scriptures here, that Jesus wasn't just obedient to his Father, but he was obedient to all the authorities placed above him. He was obedient to all the authorities placed above him. And I feel like this is where we miss the mark in showing our example of love for our Father through obedience more than we do with the commandments themselves. Because I feel like, honestly, when we get together and we talk, especially in the back in the youth room or Thursday nights when us young adults get together and talk, if I talk to anyone, I can say like, hey, how are you guys doing, you know, with your spiritual walk? It's like, oh, yeah, it's good. It's just good. It's da-da-da. But then if I say, hey, have you jaywalked in the past week? Yeah, I jaywalked last week. It's almost like it's more okay. Like when it comes to like earthly authorities, it's like you really don't have to obey. You really don't have to go along. Like it's almost like you're almost prideful like I was and sometimes still struggle with. It's almost prideful to the fact that, you know what? I don't have to obey all authorities. I just really need to obey. As long as I'm obeying my Father, as long as I'm obeying my heavenly, godly Father, as long as I'm obeying him, that's what really matters. And I want to read some scriptures where Jesus and some spiritual authorities break it down otherwise. And the first one is Hebrews 13:17. It says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Now, the first time he's talking about this authority, he's talking about spiritual authority. Now he's talking about your spiritual leaders, your pastors, people that are over you in these different ministries that we have over here. We have leaders over each ministry, deacons and elders at this church. There's other people who are these spiritual authorities. And it's saying, not only should you submit to them, because they keep watch for your souls. I love how he says this. I love that this is worded this way. Because, like, I am not trying to get kudos here. But I'm trying to be honest. There are times when I lay asleep at night and I can't stop praying for people. Because they're on my heart, and I feel like I'm supposed to watch out for them. When I think of a watchman at a gate, see, I'm a warrior. You may not tell by this leather jacket, but I'm a warrior, okay? And that is my thing, is like, show me something I can go fight, and it'd be so much easier than like, hey, show me someone I can go pray for, right? And I feel like God's definitely working on that, but I'm a warrior. I feel like if what happened on the spiritual realm, like I was like, God, you know, have the demon manifest, give me a sword and a shield, let's get this done, right? It's almost easier for me to think of it physically than it is spiritually, but the thing is there's times when I feel like I'm a watchman standing guard at, literally on the wall, and I'm watching and scanning over the horizon at night, and I'm trying to see what's coming against the people I'm trying to protect. And I'm watching out like that. I love that he words it this way, because it's talking about the spiritual leaders, those who are watching out for your souls. Because you got to understand, scripture says that if I mislead or if a spiritual leader misleads someone, it's better for us to have concrete shoes and throw them in the lake than it is to mislead someone. It's in there. Look it up. Promise. The thing is if we mislead someone, we are held accountable for that. And so that means the opposite. What he's saying here is like, hey, how you follow them, you are held accountable to. How you submit to them, you're held accountable to. That's uncomfortable to think about. It is, because I know that for me and myself, I even had to struggle with this. See, one of the pastors said, hey, we want to start a puppet ministry and children's ministry. And I was like, a puppet ministry? Like with puppets? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, that's so old. Like, that's not cool anymore. I was like, do we have to? He's like, no, I really think it's something that, like, I feel like God's telling us to do this. We need to do this. And I said, okay. And I went home and I prayed about it. Me and my wife got together and prayed about it. And we're like, you know what? We need to submit. How can I ever ask anyone, hey, trust me in my leadership of them if I'm not willing to submit to my leader? And I was like, I trust that he hears from God. I trust that he's watching out for my soul. And so that's between him and God. My job as someone who is submitting to him is to be obedient to that and trust him in that. And so what do? We have a puppet ministry that still runs to this day. We still have it to this day because of that. And the funny thing is, I prayed for like so many times. Like, God, kill that idea. Unless it's from you, then of course, I guess we'll do it. Just keep it going. You know, like keep it going. But it's like, no. It's like God's like, yes, it's part of it. And the kids love it because they love the puppets. And I'm just like, that is so, for me, uncomfortable. But I submitted to my spiritual leader. And I love how he words it at the end of that on 17. He says, do this with joy. He's like, we want them to do this with joy. Let them be excited that you're submitting to them, not going around grudgingly saying, okay, I guess we're going to do it. Well, they don't think your way is going to work, but it's like, no, respond with joy. Like, do this right, because God's saying how you submit, you'll be judged for, okay? All right, I'm going to move along because I'm running out of time. I always run out of time because I like to talk. My bad. Okay, so what about being obedient to not just spiritual authorities? What about being obedient to, like, I don't know, law enforcement, government? Ooh, that's a hard one. Truthfully, it's like, want me to be obedient to government? You mean actually file and do my taxes because I'm supposed to? No, I don't want to do that. Right? It's like, oh, you want me to be obedient to what they're saying, but they're talking about possibly taking my guns away. Right? And it's a hard pill to swallow. But in Romans, it's talked about very clear. Romans 13:1 says every person is to be in subjection, to submit to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Good, evil, or what? He's saying King Herod, who wanted to kill all those children, who did kill all those children because he was looking for Jesus, says that he wasn't established by God. Because God's will had to be done over our own. Just like Jesus, take this cup from me. But no, he's saying, hey, guess what? Submit yourself to governing authorities. That's hard to swallow, especially if you don't like your governing authorities, especially if what they are trying to do has nothing to do with what you want to do. Maybe it's the exact opposite. Maybe they're trying to pass laws that you don't agree with. It says submit to them and their authorities, but go, and I believe he still says, go and vote, go and speak, go and do something about it, but submit to their authority. It's like, well, yeah, you know what? I remember seeing not my president, hashtag not my president. And I saw that everywhere. I have to say, it's like, yes, that is your president. Pray for them. Submit to them and pray for them. And that's a hard one to swallow, but it's in here. And I'm not taking scripture out of context. Please go and read it yourself. What if the governing body that's over your life, maybe not a government, maybe it's a boss or someone else, what if they're a jerk? What if they're not even Christian? What if they're like saying, hey, come and do this or do that or this? Like, I had a boss. I was blessed because I've been a volunteer for 10 years in the church before I ever became actually hired on its staff. So that was amazing. But when I was volunteering, I also had another day job and I was working in the medical field. And I've had a blessing of some great bosses and some bad bosses. And I've had bosses that will literally walk out of a room with a patient, cuss you out, and then turn back around and go back into the room and say, this idiot just messed up. I've had some horrible bosses, and I'm like, God, tell me right now to quit. Tell me to quit. Tell me to quit. Tell me to leave. Tell me to get out of here. Like, I'm tired of this darkness. And I've heard God so many times. He's like, no, you're the only light there, so stay. And it comes down to, I love what he says in 1 Peter. I love what it says in every scripture, apparently. 1 Peter 2:18, servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. Ouch. For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly, for what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated? You endure it with patience. It's like if we sin, we feel like we deserve it. But when we do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it. This is what finds favor with God. That's important to think about. It's like if you are being treated harshly, submit anyways. Submit anyways. Why? Because you're not submitting for them. You're submitting as an example of that love for your father, right? Obedience is truly showing the love for your father. And that is what we're called in that. It's a love thing. And Matthew 5:46 says, I know I jumped real quick. My bad, guys. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? I love how it says it in the Message Bible. I don't quote the Message Bible much because it sometimes is different. But I love how it says it here because it's almost savage when it says it. It says, you're familiar. Or can you go to the Message version? Do you have that? If not, I'll just read it here. It says, you're familiar with the old written law. Love your friend and its unwritten companion. Hate your enemy. I'm challenging that. I'm actually telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer, for then you are working out of your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. He gives us his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish, to everyone regardless, the good and the bad, the nice and the nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. Savage, right? But it's like, nah, any sinner can do that. So you truly want to be obedient? You want to show the love of Christ? Guess what? Be the best darn submissive person to your work boss. That boss can chew you out, can cuss you out. That boss would cuss me out constantly. I thought he hated me. And you know what happened when I went and put in my 2 weeks' notice? Because I was moving to start work for a church. He said, you are like a son to me. If you ever need anything, let me know. And I'm like, who? What? Me? It's like, wow, I'd hate to be your real son. God forgive me. But he responded with that. And another boss I had, we were at a Christmas party. And we're hanging out and having a good time. And he kind of started talking to the other doctors and the other people. And he was bragging about how he could treat me like crap, like crud. He can just walk all over me. But I would still say, yes, sir. And I would always show up the next day as if nothing happened. He was bragging about that. And at first I was like, psh, I'll show him. A rebellious spirit that I had. And I would go, God, what do you want me to do? You want me to call him out on this? You want me to like be like, hey, you're not walking on me anymore, man. God said, no, submit. Be obedient. Because Colossians 3:23, it's the last scripture, I promise. It says, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. And this is what Jesus answered to me. He looked at me and he said, flat out, you don't work for them. You work for me. And through that, they're just the boss that I have over you right now. They're just the supervisor that are currently overseeing you right now. That's all it is. This is your current supervisor. But you answer to me. How well you submit to that supervisor, you answer to me. And God told me, be like Jesus. You don't like to hear that. It's like, no, I want to be like Peter. I want to cut off his ear, right? It's like, I want to grab the sword. I want to throw it at them, literal, physical, you know, or spiritually, whatever. That's what I want to do, right? I want to pray, God, curse them. Give them diarrhea, right? It's like, you want to react. I think I've said diarrhea every single sermon I've ever said. I don't know why it pops up all the time. Weird. But a filter. Oh, hey, got a text message. My bad. But, guys, do you work for God? God's calling all of us to work for him, to bring glory to him, to give praises to him. And there's no better way to show that love than to be obedient to all authorities that are over your life. Whether it's spiritual, non-spiritual, whether it's governing, whether it's your boss, no matter if it's your master, whoever it is, submit. Be obedient in that. And I hate to say it, I'm going to get some really bad looks because I'm a dude. If you're a wife, that also means submit to your husband. And by doing that, you're being obedient to God. And you're showing how much you love the Father, not your husband. How much you love God. Okay, guys, you're off the hook. That means you got to love your wife like Christ loved the church. It's even harder. But love them, okay?
Refine meets every Sunday for service at 5 p.m. and every Thursday at 6 p.m. at Valley Vegas Church. For more information, follow us at Refine Vegas. Visit our website, refinevegas.org, or call 702-254-2251.